This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three. Good Monday to you. Thanks for joining us as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. Did you hear about Bob Huggins over the weekend? He resigned after he was allegedly driving under the influence.
Yeah. Not a good look, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Huggins, who was been there a while. He was at Cincinnati, of course, when he was that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then he's been in West Virginia for a while, but he decided to resign after this, basically saying, hey, listen, this is not acceptable, part of the university, you know, the university leadership, et cetera. But
in some of the details of the arrest, too, like, I don't know how much of it is true, but the fact that they found empty cans in his car.
Right.
I guess he blew a .2.
.21, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then the other detail I saw, which was like, this is when you know you're bad, is that he thought he was in Columbus.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Like,
yeah.
Oof.
Exactly. He'd been in West Virginia for 16 seasons, and again, he was, again, the head coach at Cincinnati back in the day as well. So Bob Huggins is one of the more, you know, more prominently successful college basketball coaches, and liked a lot by the college basketball community. But he also used a homophobic slur in an interview in a Cincinnati radio station. That was added on. He had to apologize for that. So there was just a couple of things. It was like a little perfect storm that was coming for this resignation of Bob Huggins. But he
resigned
to West Virginia.
Okay, we got to do the thing. I got to do the thing that we always do, right? He resigned. From his post, how long before he works again?
That's a good question. I wonder. He's a Morgantown guy. He's a West Virginia guy.
Yeah.
Played there. So sometimes when that happens to you, you go, But then the lore of it is enough that when there's enough distance between this and you, that you could go, look, I'm 69. I'm not 89.
Yeah, I'm not dead.
I could still coach. Does he just go right back into it and says, you know what, this didn't work? You're a little heartbroken. You're at your alma mater. You're coaching your alma mater. They're doing pretty well. I mean, he's, you know, Press Virginia and all that. I mean, he's led them to the NCAA tournament a number of times. Had them in the Final Four, I think 15 years ago, something like that. So he's had some real success at West Virginia. But I do think that the lore of that comes back when it's good to jump back in the water again, right? When you can convince a school that hiring you is not a terrible thing. And you know what happens? It usually comes from a school that's like, you know what? My constituents is the wrong word. A booster is probably better. But, you know, the people that really want you to make these decisions, an athletic director saying, you know, we believe that incident is behind him, and we have a chance to get Bob Huggins. We would never have a chance to get Bob Huggins. I think that's why Iona wanted Rick Pitino. It's like, we can get a Rick Pitino because we will take him at the lowest point, right? And maybe that's the case with, this is no knock on Texas Tech, but Bob Knight should have never been anywhere near Texas Tech, right?
Right.
He should
yeah.
have been in Indiana forever. He made a bunch of mistakes, but when you fall from grace and you plummet and then the smoke clears a bit and you can get back into the game, there's always a school that's like, you know what? You're bigger than anything we ever thought could land here. And you end up with this genius basketball coach, whether that's I'm not arguing for the value of that. I mean, he's still a guy that was pulled over for a DUI.
Made a mistake.
But the reality is that a lot of these guys do find a second chance with a school that is like, when are we going to get an opportunity to land someone like this? And you know what? And for them, the booster's kind of knock on the door going, yeah, we don't care. Like, we don't care about his past. We just want to win, and he can help us win. Because, you know, after he wins enough to go on to something else, but we've at least enjoyed the run. That's kind of the part of college athletics that's always been available. But, you know, you and I have said Art Briles is the one that can't seem to bounce back into the sport, right? Because of what happened to Baylor was so bad.
He's the only untouchable.
Right?
He's the one that nobody wants
anyone near.
Yeah, because anytime he gets close to getting hired, I mean, they immediately bring up the fact like, oh, you buried the lead there, bud.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
These women were just getting, you know, abused left and right.
And he didn't do anything.
And you didn't.
And he did nothing.
You kept the sanctity of the program together.
I mean, even Southern Miss, like, this goes back to my example, right? Southern Miss, the coaching staff wanted to bring Art Briles on as a coordinator, just as an assistant coach. And again, the formula that I was just talking about, which is there are these schools on these bottom levels. And then again, Southern Miss is, they had Brett Favre in their history, but they're still and I think now they're in the Sun Belt. They used to be in Conference USA. They're a school that's like, hey, you know what? When are we going to get a guy like Art Briles? The coach is connected to him. But their boosters and their fans said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we said this about Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino was going to end up back in the college game at some point.
Look at Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah. Steve Sarkisian, same thing.
I mean, he was drunk at a booster.
At a booster event. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Had to go to Nick Saban to go, give me another opportunity. He was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
Got back into the college game when that didn't work out. Now he's got he's the head coach of one of the premier programs in all of college sports.
Yeah.
With
the premier quarterback in
with
all
the premier
college.
Quarterback of all things, right? So I agree with you. I'm not going to put the nail in the coffin of Bob Huggins' career, but at 69. Now again, this is all up to him. I can almost guarantee you that there'll be a school within 2 or 3 years that will want Bob Huggins to be the head coach.
They'll make him an offer, yeah.
Right? I know he may not want it. I've been in this business too long to know that is definitely not going to hinder him. It's a horrible thing. Drunk driving is a serious issue, but it's not serious enough to keep you out of coaching forever. There's going to be enough distance where he might go, all right, I'll come back, and there'll be some small school, maybe in that area of the country, that goes, sure, why not? You know, why not here? So that's, you know, who knows? Maybe it's Robert Morris or some school in Pittsburgh like that, or whatever, Duquesne or something. I mean, who knows? But somewhere along in that area, he might land in that area. He may not. He may land in like Northern California or something. Who knows? But yeah, here's the thing. I think Bob Huggins made the right decision to resign, because you don't want to get fired from your alma mater. You know, you don't want to do something that allows the school to make the decision on you. You want to go, look, he probably looked around and said, you know what, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to deal with this headache. I've done two things that have embarrassed the school. It's better for me to leave and protect my school from doing this rather than them having to do it. Bob Knight had to learn. Bob Knight did this. So when Bob Knight was in Indiana and he choked Neil Reed and they had the tape, right? They had the tape and they saw the tape, and Indiana officials didn't know what to do because there was a lot of pressure on leave Bob Knight alone, don't mess with Bob Knight, whatever. And there was a lot of pressure on Neil Reed and his family. It was all a mess. If you want to watch the documentary on it, it was really good. But what they did was they said, all right, listen, you're kind of on probation. Any other incident is going to result in your termination. And Bob Knight then he gets into it with another student. A student said something to him. I think he called him Knight, not Coach Knight or Mr. Knight or anything. He just said Knight. And he got into that with that kid, and it got physical enough that the school said, we got to fire you. We told you we would fire you if this happened, and we did. And then Bob Knight is like rallying students and, you know, talking about he's going to sue them. And like he makes it difficult to for the marriage to break up. Now, he didn't want to lose his job. He didn't want to leave Indiana, but Indiana had to make the choice. Now, if you're Huggins, you go, okay, look, they could fire me over this, right? Again, he blew a 2-1. He's got beer cans in the car, right? Like you said, he thinks he's in Columbus. This is a terrible look. He's behind the wheel of a car. We know what that, you know, we know what that could mean. We know what that could result in. It's a bad look. Do you say, look, this is my school. This is my job. I want to be here. I've always wanted to be here. I've got this. I get this team into the tournament. I would not have been fired for any performance-related issue. They were never going to fire me because I didn't win enough. They weren't going to fire me because I didn't get to the tournament enough. They were never going down that road. I recruit well. West Virginia gets into the tournament. You know, I've done my job. So I wasn't going to be fired on a performance basis, but I could be fired for this. Is that how I want this to be? Do I want them to have a press conference where they say, we are letting Bob Huggins go? And the smart move is to end it before that happens. So you resign, you disappear for a little bit, and then you say, maybe it's 72 years old, I come back and I become a head coach, if that's exactly what I want to do. Or maybe I just retire and call it a day. But anyway, it was a big story over the weekend after being pulled over for a DUI for Bob Huggins in West Virginia. So, but like I said, I think you'll see him back doing something. If that's what he wants, who knows? All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. I mentioned Robert listening in South Korea. I said I don't know what time it is. It is now after midnight.
Yesterday or South tomorrow.
Korea. Yeah, now it is Tuesday in South Korea. So
how did
God
Monday
bless him.
Go? I'm curious.
Yeah, how did Monday go? How do we process that?
Did Houston blow up into a ball of flame because it's hot, man?
Yeah,
it's hot. I got into my car today. The temperature was already 83, but with the heat index, it was like already 100 something. And this is seven in the morning. I'm just like, no.
So the heat index includes like the humidity, right? I never understood this. So that
it's the
feels like.
It's
right,
the feels
exactly.
Like
that's the feels like number.
So today it's supposed to the actual temperature is supposed to be like 100, 101.
Okay, I got you.
The feels like is 116. That's what they're predicting.
Do the people on the news do that thing where they go, and if you don't have to be outside, don't be outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
drink plenty of water, wear light clothing, and please stay indoors as much as you possibly can.
So, I mean, and since Robert already lived through today, I just want to know, you know, am I safe in Houston or do I pack up the family and we go, you know, we get in the car and just drive somewhere?
Yeah,
Did it just go into a ball of flame? I'm just curious.
People always ask me, would you like extreme cold or extreme heat? And I always go, I don't like either one of them. Like, why do I have to choose either one? Why can't I just, why do I have to be an extreme? I don't know. I'm going to stay indoors in both of those situations. How's that? How's that? No, I've been in extreme cold. It's awful. I've been in extreme heat. It's terrible.
Yep.
I can't choose between two god-awful things. Don't make me do it.
No, it's not fun.
No, it isn't fun. It isn't fun. All right, we'll continue. And again, the news this morning in the NBA front, Bradley Beal to the Phoenix Suns in a trade that has not been finalized yet, but it's definitely on the table. Chris Paul being shipped out. We'll talk more about that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. One other note, you know how we talk about these simulcast broadcast things where, like, the Mannings are doing, like, Monday Night Football?
Yep. Yeah.
You get to these alternate broadcasts. They seem to be pretty popular. People seem to like the idea of there's a traditional way to watch a game, and then there's these sort of cool, everybody sit around and just talk while the game is going on, and you get a little bit more insight. So I was saying on Sunday, I was watching the Canadian Grand Prix, which is a Formula One race, and Daniel Ricciardo, who's a former Formula One driver, he's a reserve driver for Red Bull Racing, but he's famous, became very, very popular during a Drive to Survive. He's an Australian, very funny. But he's doing one of these simulcast shows with Will Arnett. Him and Will Arnett are doing a thing. And I was kind of bummed out because I kind of forgot about it while I was watching it. Because I was watching this on F1 TV, which is a broadcast I like. And I totally forgot that Will Arnett, who I really like, is doing something with Daniel Ricciardo. So even they are jumping into the alternate broadcast thing that is happening. We normally get those for bigger events, right? Like Monday Night Football is a big event, so the Manning simulcast is kind of cool. During the NCAA tournament, you could get that with coaches. During NCAA football playoffs, you could get that with different levels where there's like multiple channels with a bunch of these on there. So do you think it catches on where we get more and more of this during other events? There was a basketball one, too. I think there was one during the NBA Finals.
Yeah, there was.
That I kind of forgot about, where there's a couple people sitting around talking and kind of breaking down the play. I don't know what the appeal is. I mean, other than they can be funny. Like, I like the Mannings. I think the Mannings do a pretty good job. Is there an insight that's missing from the original broadcast? It's what's one of the reasons you have a color commentator.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, we've seen it with the basketball, but I don't know if it's like a bunch of basketball stars.
Right.
You see, it works with the Mannings because you got two quarterbacks who are brothers.
Yeah.
Breaking down the game from a point of view that you've never seen before.
Exactly.
And that's where it really worked for us. I mean, they're both charismatic, which also helps. But I thought the other one was like Stephen A. was a part of it.
Yeah, that's right. Stephen A.
Like,
was a part of it.
Okay, that's just another commentator.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Like, if you're Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, what are they not doing that another broadcast team needs to tell you about, right? Like, what, like, Okay, I'll give you an example. I'll just go back to this Formula One thing. I didn't see the Ricardo Arnett thing, but I like Will Arnett. He's funny. I mean, he's a Hollywood guy, right? He's an actor. He's a funny guy. And by the way, he's got a great voice. He does those Reese's peanut butter cup. It makes me want a Reese's peanut butter cup every time he does one of those ads. But BoJack Horseman on Netflix was brilliant. I mean, his voice as BoJack Horseman is great.
He's everywhere.
Arrested Development was fantastic. He was such a great character in that.
You know, he's hosting shows. Yeah. I think, isn't he in another commercial other than the peanut butter cup one? I thought he was part of
Geico.
Yeah,
a couple of them. Yeah, exactly. The guy's a Geico ad. Does a Geico ad, too.
Yeah.
So if I'm watching a regular broadcast of a race, right, a motorsport event, and the color commentator is usually the guy that is saying, hey, looks like the car is struggling with this. It looks like they'll have to pit now. If they pit now and they come out, based on the average pit time, he'll come out seventh. And then when, you know, there's a lot of strategical elements that they're bringing you. And I think to myself, what is the other broadcast supposed to tell me? What is the original broadcast not telling me that Arnett and Ricardo are telling me, or the Mannings, or Stephen A, or whoever? Like, what if you were directing that, what would you say to the people? Like, don't be a color commentator like a normal color commentator. You got to do something else. We've already got that handled. Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson are doing a pretty good job on the weak side defense of the Miami Heat. We need you to do something else. We need you to talk about something different. And I wonder what that is. I wonder how you go about doing that. Because I think that would be pretty hard. And I'll give you know, Formula One, for example, right now is really struggling with entertainment. Because there's one guy winning all the races. It's silly. It's almost to a point of absurdity. So what are you adding? You have to add something else. And here's the thing. You get to a point where there's such a dominating team and a dominating driver that you got to find another entertainment element to it other than just, here's a guy, he's leading again. He's increasing his lead to 7 seconds, whatever it is. I think adding a Will Arnett to it is great. I'd rather see an entertainment guy that's funny or guy that's built in the entertainment world doing that than yet another voice of yet another guy. Like, I'll be honest with you. When I watch the NCAA football, like the playoffs, college football, they had one where there was coaches. They had a broadcast where you can listen to coaches talk. Now, there's going to be a segment of the population that likes that. They like the coaching angle to it. But I'll be honest with you, that sounds kind of boring to me, to be honest with you. I mean, it sounds kind of like, I could like it for a little bit, but there's no other hook that's drawing me in. Now, if you get a room of coaches and let's say, I don't know, some comedian that's funny, John Mulaney or something like that, that would be much more entertaining to me. So how they put this stuff together and how they produce it is really, it's fascinating to me as a broadcaster, because I'm looking at it from a standpoint of what's missing in the original broadcast that you want to do something like this. And even though they've done things like this before, I think the Manning cast was really the first one that had such high profile of, you know what, there's an additional way people can watch this that will, instead of the X's and O's all the time and the who, what, where, when, and why, we're going to give them something different. Like, yeah, you know, it's really cool that the Buffalo Bills and the Chargers are playing on Monday Night Football, but do you also want to hear an interview with Samuel L. Jackson? Yeah. That's your Manning cast. Yeah, all of those things. Yeah, the game is really good, but 2-time Tony Award winner so is in the house. And I'm thinking to myself, that might be the new way we go. I don't know. Just a thought. I saw it. I was attracted to the product because of Will Arnett, but I ended up not diving into it. All right, so the big news in the NBA is this trade that would send Chris Paul to Washington along with Landry Schmidt and second-round picks plus first-round swaps from the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards. It would mean that Bradley Beal would be on the Phoenix Suns, and Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, putting together his version of the Big Three. It comes at a hefty price. It's $42.5 million on Beal's contract. He's got 4 years left on the contract. He's got a no-trade clause in the contract, meaning he has the power to veto any trade. He's agreeing to do this because he's got to get out of Washington because Washington is going with the total rebuild. The element that people are sort of looking at is this. Does this big three work in a Western Conference that is very, very difficult? As I said in hour one this morning, I think if you look at the way the Denver Nuggets built a championship, that's not a realistic way for teams to go about trying to get a championship quickly. I think if you want to say that the way Denver built their championship is a way for them to say, look, you got to have patience and you got to have a little luck and you got to make sure that things you're committed to, you're staying committed to, right? Phoenix was not in a position to win a title Denver's way unless you want to wait 5 years, right? All right, let's just build it through the draft. Let's find the diamond in the rough in the draft and build around him. That's not what you do. That's not why you got Kevin Durant. You get Kevin Durant because he's singularly one of the only players in the league that can win you playoff series by himself. You add him to Devin Booker, and now you're adding him to Bradley Beal at the expense of Chris Paul. Does that mean that the Phoenix Suns are the favorites in the West? Well, I don't think so yet until I know what else will be around Phoenix. What hurt Phoenix in this trade, why people sort of went, okay, I love getting Durant, but it comes at this cost, and that cost was depth. For the Dallas Mavericks, for example, when they got Kyrie Irving, their cost was defense. They lost two very, very good defensive players. Phoenix lost depth. Well, how do you replace the depth? Well, you're going to have to do it with veteran minimums because you are really, really stacked together now on salaries of Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant. Now, you're jettisoning a 38-year-old guard in Chris Paul who did not have a very good season, was hurt in the playoffs once again, but he came at about $31 million. You're replacing him with Beal, who also gets injured, but now you're adding $12.5 million to that. Well, that would be, I'm sorry, about $11.5 million to that. So it's more expensive to get Bradley Beal, albeit younger. You're not getting a defensive player, you're getting an offensive scorer to two guys that already can score at a pretty good rate. So what else is there to like about it? There's still no big man, there's still no defensive side, and there's no depth. So it's a good starting point, but I would like to know where Matt Ishbia and the Phoenix Suns are going with some other places if I'm going to consider them now a Western Conference favorite when the Nuggets aren't really going to change anything and come back as strong as they were last year, barring injury, of course. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. On this date, Len Bias passed away. Remember 1986? The star from Maryland was going to be the next Boston Celtic great. He was the number two pick in 1986. A few days after the draft, he was doing cocaine in his dorm room, had seizure, and passed away. And it was pretty devastating news. I was young at the time. I was a teenager at the time, and I just watched the Celtics win the 86 NBA title in pretty dominating fashion over the Houston Rockets. They won it in six games, but they had the best record in the NBA that year. Bill Walton was on that team, but that 86 Celtics team was one of the best teams ever in NBA history. And they had gotten into the draft lottery, and they had the Philadelphia 76ers had the number one overall pick, but the Celtics had the number two pick. And the Sixers traded that pick. Well, Brad Doherty was the number one pick, and they went to Cleveland. And Len Bias, who was people considered one of the great, great, great college basketball talents to come out of Maryland, was drafted by the Celtics. And this was going to continue the Celtic dynasty. As you started seeing an aging, Larry Bird was having some issues and whatnot, is getting older. You figured, okay, you know what? Down the road, there'll be another young superstar that would come into the organization. And in a time in the 1980s, you know, when you're talking cocaine and don't you know, say no to drugs, Nancy Reagan's sort of anti-drug policy, you know, or at least anti-drug slogan, I should say. And then you found out, you know, well, I remember getting a phone call from my friend and my friend saying that Len Bias died and we didn't know how. And then when we found out how. But, you know, what was very sad was his family, his mother and father, Len Bias had a younger brother that would die 4 years later in a drive-by shooting at the age of 20. So that they lost both their children to pretty amazingly sad circumstances, especially for Bias, because he was described as Michael Jordan. I mean, he was so good at Maryland. He was a transcendental player. He was going to come in and he was going to be an impactful right away. I mean, we talk about this because Thursday night's the NBA draft, and Victor Wembanyama is going to be the number one overall pick, and people are calling him a generational talent. And you know, we don't know obviously if Victor Wembanyama is going to be outstanding at this. We never know. You never know. Injuries might derail him. You know, or he might win the Spurs 5 titles. I have no idea. But people are talking about how excited they are to have this kid in the league. And I remember how excited we were in New England at the time when Len Bias was drafted by the Celtics. It was just going to continue along with how good the Celtics were going to be down the road. And it was sad. So on this date, you know, we don't do Throwback Monday or anything, but I was reminded about him being drafted a couple of days ago. And then I went, when did he actually pass away? It was June 19th, 1986, at the age of 22. Very kind of a sad moment, 37 years ago. But who knows what would have happened to the Celtics if Len Bias was on that team. Who knows? The Lakers sort of took over the late 80s. The Pistons would then take over the Eastern Conference. And then, of course, the Bulls took over in the 90s, the NBA. But there was a belief that the Celtics could have hung around, won a couple of more titles. They did not win another one after 86. So the Lakers won in 87 and 88. Pistons won. No, I'm sorry, 88. I think the Pistons won in 88 and 89. And then the Bulls won all the way through. No, they won 88. I'm sorry, the Pistons won 89, 90. And then the Bulls won 91, 92, 93, took 2 breaks, and then won 3 in a row. So the Pistons caught the last end of the decade. And then I remember Pistons Blazers. It was 1990. So. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Continuing our conversation about this Bradley Beal situation, I hope that Chris Paul lands on a contender. There's a possibility of a third team getting involved to put Chris Paul as a contender on a contending team. But this is what, if you're Washington Wizards, if you're a fan of the Wizards, this is what you want your team to do every now and then, is to rebuild, shut it down,
yep.
Stop competing for the 9th spot in the East. Stop trying to fight for the last playoff spot in the play-in tournament. Strip it down. The Bradley Beal thing didn't work. They couldn't pair him up with anybody enough to be a contender in the East. Break it down and start fresh.
But what's it going to take for this team to get out of that mold?
Who knows?
Because I feel like the Wizards are always rebuilding.
Always. Always. I can't remember the Wizards being awesome in my lifetime.
No.
Like, the Wizards were always good enough to get in the playoff, but I never considered them a juggernaut Eastern Conference team.
You had John Wall and couldn't do anything. And couldn't I don't think didn't build, really build around John Wall either. Yeah.
I mean, even when they were the Bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were never somebody that in the East in the 80s I thought was going to derail the Celtics or anybody else. They were never good enough. Right? And so you got to at least take your chance and strip it down. I'm really curious of how this is going to work out in Phoenix. I'm really curious because I picked Phoenix to win the Western Conference at the beginning of the playoffs because of the 8-0 Kevin Durant mark. And I thought, you know what? Playoff time is when you get these superstars to shine. This is what happens. No idea that the Denver juggernaut was going to be as strong as it was in the West, despite a great regular season. But what I saw from the Suns in this playoff series was I saw two guys in games 3 and 4 in Booker and Durant having to do so much of the scoring and were shooting at such an incredible pace. And like we said many times on how good Denver was in the postseason, Denver still almost beat them in those games. They didn't blow Denver out in those games despite historical shooting from both of those players in their combined effort. Now, this does allow Frank Vogel to have one of those, have all 3, 2, or 1 on the court at all times, right? And that's great. But I still don't know who's going to be a presence for Jokic, who's going to be a presence for Anthony Davis, who's going to be a presence for anybody else that's a big man on any team that they play. I do think that the depth issue is an issue you can fix because you can get some very strong role players at veteran minimums. It's not the end of the world that there's not a lot of highly recognizable names that you can get to fill some roles. I mean, Miami, my God, made it to the finals with that basic formula. But I hope they can find something so that the issue for the Suns isn't depth when we get to the playoffs again. That it's three guys that are really too much of a force for anybody to take. But I like the boldness. I will say this. It's something you and I were just talking about earlier this morning. Matt Ishbia's decision to make a deal like this is because he made a deal for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You cannot make a deal. So anybody that's saying, I don't like this. What else was on the table for Phoenix to be a contender today, right now? Because you're not going to win the West with two guys. If you want to jettison Chris Paul out of this thing because he's too old and he gets injured, I get it. If you're disappointed in the way Chris Paul played last season, fine. I understand. Again, they're replacing Chris Paul with Bradley Beal. They're adding about $11.5 million because of the difference between the two salaries. You are hamstrung a bit with the four-year no-trade clause contract you're going to be picking up with Bradley Beal. But again, you're not winning an NBA Finals with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and nobody else. That's not going to work.
And you can't, and you know, even if they didn't make any deal, kept Chris Paul. Right. You can't do it with two aging superstars. I'm sorry.
No. And DeAndre Ayton, that was a no-show, right? I mean, yeah.
We just watched the Lakers, and now they don't have two aging superstars. I mean, Anthony Edwards is getting up there, but, I mean, still, he should be good. Or Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards. Anthony Davis. But, I mean, you can see that, you know, their two main guys can't do it anymore, hack it. You need some young talent on there.
The eye on the prize, and again, it's not to dismiss anybody that might be up and coming. The eye on the prize is Denver, right? You got to play. You don't care what Memphis is going to bring to the table next year. You don't care. Maybe the Lakers are in that little conversation too, but you don't look at Sacramento. You look at Denver. How are we going to end up beating Denver's not going to change much until next season. So what was the thing that you had to do against the Nuggets, right? Well, the Nuggets had a great offensive efficiency, and Durant and Booker, when they were on in those three games, again, Denver was able to keep up scoring-wise. They didn't win those games, but again, Phoenix didn't win by 20. So you need extra scoring. That's why adding this, you know, when people say, well, they didn't add a good defensive player, they added yet another scorer. Yeah, because Denver was still better offensive per 100 possessions than Phoenix was. So you're going to need an added score. You're going to need an added threat to this equation. Because one of the things that we noticed about game three in the playoff series was those two, that wasn't sustainable. Like, that wasn't going to be something that they were going to be able to consistently do. And then when we saw it in game four, you're like, well, maybe that's wrong. But then sure enough, game five, it wasn't there again. So you can't expect lights out shooting from two guys, and that's how you're going to beat the Nuggets. You don't have to get those guys lights out shooting if you bring in another scorer. Yeah, defensively, I got a problem with this deal because Beal is not a good defender, but that's not really why they made the deal. They weren't adding a defensive stalwart to this big three. They were adding another offensive threat in this big three. They're going to have to figure out defense through the brilliance of Frank Vogel, who could probably get the best defense out of anybody. So I'm not poo-pooing on this like a lot of people are this morning, because I think if you're the Suns and you want to be all in, then be all in. And because the patience way that Denver built theirs, that's not going to cut it. Not going to cut it. When you get Kevin Durant, that's not going to cut it.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this segment is brought to you by Total Wine with the lowest prices for over 30 years. You'll love what you find at Total Wine and more. Check out TotalWine.com today. Drink responsibly, B21. All right, as we continue along, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, so you know what I just found out over the weekend, and I'm almost embarrassed that I didn't see this when it came out originally? So I saw a video over the weekend of the band Heart performing Stairway to Heaven from 10 years ago at the Kennedy Center honoring Led Zeppelin.
Is that the first time you saw it?
That's the first time I saw that. How did I miss this?
You were in a cave.
I must have been in a cave. That was 10 years ago. This is how dumb I was. I saw it and I immediately went, when did that happen? Last night? When did that happen? I think, isn't one of the Wilson sisters dead? Are they both still alive?
I think they're both still alive.
Are they both still alive?
We're going to have to investigate.
We're going to have to do that. So I went, when did this happen? I looked it up, 2012. I go, what? I'm almost embarrassed. I'm almost like, some people in my life have to be responsible for telling me when this kind of stuff goes down. What was going on in my life in 2012 that I know I was trying to think, like, no, it was a pretty ordinary year. I didn't have a major life crisis that I was out of the media or out of the depths. It's like, how did I miss this? It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen of a cover of a song. So, and I normally don't do that. I normally try to keep up with that kind of thing. I mean, I'm trying to do some pop culture references. It's almost embarrassing how I miss. It's like a movie. It's like a movie everybody watches, but you didn't watch, and you kind of forgot that it was even out.
That you forgot it was a thing, yep.
And I was like, how did I forget? It was a movie. How did I forget that movie came out? I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. They released the new Batman movie? Where was I? In a cave? I must have been, yeah, that kind of thing. It was great. So, yeah, I'm glad that this Facebook Reels TikTok algorithm somehow thought I might like seeing that.
Instead of the other stuff.
Right, instead of the other stuff. Like, oh, hi, yeah, I bought a pressure washer and now I make $5,000 a day.
Well, I'm just curious how Facebook does it. I mean, I still don't understand because I'll have conversations with my wife right. And then out of nowhere, I'll start seeing ads for it.
Oh, it's crazy.
It blows
it's
my
terrible.
Mind. It's like I've never searched for it on the internet. I was just like, hey, you know what? Or she'll be telling me something about, you know, I saw this, but then all of a sudden, since she saw it on her account, I get ads for it. How do you know?
I remember years ago, I'm in my front yard. I think I told you this story one time
before. Yeah.
I was in my front yard. My neighbor walked by, and she's one of those ladies, she's a really nice lady, but if you get in a conversation, might as well pull up a chair. You're going to be there a while. So I'm in the yard trimming some hedges or whatever. So she sees me. Oh, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? She pulls up, starts talking, shuts talking to me. She starts telling me about, oh, and those devices, they're all listening to you. I go, you know, I don't say anything. I'm like, yeah, you know, but I'm like, she's crazy. Crazy lady down the road. Nice lady, crazy lady. So I didn't even think much about it. And sure enough, they are like, they all are.
They all are.
Like, you know what I mean? Like they all are. You're exactly right.
I don't, you know, and you're not tinfoil hat guy when you say something like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's the way it is. Like I get cookies. You know what I mean? Like if I Google something,
yeah.
Like for my wife, if my wife likes, something, I go, all right,
question
let's find
you.
That out. Then I see it all over the place. I get that, but.
Question for you, all right? Yes. Before, I don't know when this came to be or, you know, who complained about it. Who became a millionaire off of complaining about cookies? But I am starting to get annoyed of having to accept cookies every single time I go to a website.
Every time I want to read an article or something, cookies are part of the deal here if you want to read this work.
And you can't move on until you click accept.
Right.
And it's like, I came to your website. Obviously, I have, you know, I want to read whatever it is. Can't I just read without accepting? Or do I, you know, or can you just assume that I wanted to come here?
Yeah. Guess not.
Nope, now we have to accept. Because some guy sued and got $1 million because that's how the world works.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. The world, yeah, that's exactly right.
I saw one the other day where a lady at Starbucks was fired because she declared it was a race thing. Starbucks said, no, you weren't a good employee. And she was awarded
$25
million.
$25
million? Yeah.
For what?
She claims it was a race thing. They said, no, you weren't a good employee. And
the judge fired
got it in her favor.
They fired her. She said that the company was racist.
Yeah.
But they are saying, no. You weren't good enough.
You weren't good. You lacked leadership quality, which is what they're looking for to move you up the ladder. They don't want you to just be a barista.
You got 25
forever.
Million bucks?
You got $25, $26 million. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I'm going to take the same route.
What are you talking about? That's crazy. So that's Well, I'll have to look that story.
We gotta always be on the lookout for those, you know, McDonald's hot cup of coffee things out there now.
I remember reading about that. Is that still believed to be what it is? Because I remember watching this documentary, and that coffee was 195 degrees, which is a third degree burn coffee level.
I think it was hotter than it was supposed to be.
Yes. The urban legend is this coffee's hot. I'm suing you for millions. When in reality, it spilled and she got third degree burns and needed skin grafts, which is not supposed to happen when you spill coffee on you. When you spill coffee on you, it's not supposed to require massive amounts of surgery. And I think that's what happened to that woman. Because I think it just became urban legend that it was just frivolous. Like, my gum is chewy. And you go, yeah, gum is chewy. But I didn't want it chewy. Like, I want $5 million.
But she
was actually like, the temperature of this is nowhere near where it should be. This is nuclear fusion type of hot.
But I do think that was the first time McDonald's started labeling their cups, contents may be hot.
Well,
I think that was a result of what came out of that, which is why the 190 degree temperature, the third degree burn from a drink kind of lost its way of, hey, yeah, no,
it's kind of too bad.
Cup are hot. Did you not know this?
It's kind of too bad because she didn't do anything wrong. She should have sued if the coffee is 195 degrees and she's getting third degree burns, but she didn't want millions of dollars. She wanted them to pay for the medical bills. And when they refused to pay the medical bills, obviously, because you get liability because you're like, well, you know, if you pay one, it's like, what's that old saying? Like if you get a call from a debt collector and they say like, you owe this bill and you go, no, I don't. And they're like, hey, listen, we'll take a payment of 10 bucks and we'll get off your back. And you give them 10 bucks. Well, now you owe the whole thing. Because you've admitted that this is part of you, but so you can understand why McDonald's was like, no, we're not paying because you know somebody else will creep in. But if I remember correctly, I remember the documentary that she wanted her medical bills taken care of. They said no. She said, fine, then we'll sue you for lots and lots of money if you're not going to do that. But it is too bad because again, if you're damaged in a way where you want to sue. But something is too much of what it is. If it becomes something where people can just dumb it down to, you should have known coffee was hot. And her point would be, no, it wasn't that it was hot. It's that I needed multiple skin graft surgeries. Whereas if you spill a normal cup of coffee on you, you're not going to need that. You might get a burn.
Yeah.
It might be hot. You might have to put some ointment on it, but you don't need to rush to the emergency room where you need skin graft surgery. That was her lawyer's point.
You probably need a new change of clothes.
Right, your clothes are ruined.
Because
I've had coffee spill on me, and I didn't go to the emergency room.
Hot.
But if your skin after a cup of coffee spills on you is peeling away from your body, then you've gotten something different.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering how did it get there.
How did it get that hot?
Place, yeah.
Yeah, like that's what I want to know. Like,
how are you serving
Can you get something that hot? Like we're at a point where like in a standard coffee machine? Like I get if I put it on a stove and I just boil it and I just keep boiling it, it will be very, very, very hot. But in a standard coffee machine, can it get that hot? Can I crank it all the way up to 11?
There had to be a malfunction in there. Maybe somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe that wasn't working properly. I mean, it's beyond you to even think that McDonald's would have machines that are broken constantly. Yeah.
You ever put something like something in the microwave to melt, and you take it out, and it's literally the hottest. It's hotter than the sun.
Yeah.
You're like, how the like
maybe
all I
that's
wanted
what
was
did. Maybe.
All I wanted was a little melted butter. Like I just wanted to put a little butter on the melt a little butter, and this thing is bubbling, and it's like, God, maybe that's what they did. You're right. Maybe they added something to that coffee. That's crazy. That's crazy. All right, Lombardi Line's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow as we look forward to the NBA draft, which will be on Thursday night. Plus, if anything else comes about with this Bradley Beal, Phoenix Suns, Washington Wizards deal, we'll certainly have it for you. Again, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day.